coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Oh man, we have got a great show for you today. I made a new friend. His name is Bruce Corey. He is from shootingclasses.com, and we'll be speaking with him in segments 2 and 3, all about the training industry, about how instructors find students, how they can help instructors and students get paired up so that all the good training that needs to happen can happen. That'll be coming up in segments 2 and 3. And then, of course, in segment 4, I'll give you the wrap-up. What's been going on? Oh, gosh, I have been hunting. This past week, I've been taking my little ones hunting. Yesterday, I took out Cedar, the 12-year-old. And I got to tell you, I wish I could have him on the show to tell you about his hunting trip. We found a squirrel, a big, fat fox squirrel. This fox squirrel looked like Garfield the cat attached to a tree. My son shot at this squirrel 5 times. He missed every single time. But it was good. It was fun. It was exciting. And he walked away saying, "Dad, I need to practice more." So it was all good. And the time before that, I took Phoenix and, you know, we saw a red squirrel, but didn't get a good shot off at that, which I'm secretly happy he didn't shoot that red squirrel. Have you ever tried to skin and gut out a red squirrel? Looks like a little rat. But anyways, it's been good. I've been hunting myself. Haven't shot any more deer, just a doe last week. But I went out last night. I've been watching these deer come out of my swamp and into the neighbor's soybean field for about, 3 weeks now. And they always come out at the exact same spot. And there's no place to put a tree in that spot or anywhere close to it. And so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to wait until the wind gets perfect. And I'm going to go down there with my stadium chair, my folding chair. I'm going to sit there in that tall grass, and I will wait for them to come out. So finally, last night, the wind, the weather, everything was perfect. So I go down there, I get there early, I sit down, and I go, you know what? I'm going to get a nice big fat doe tonight. I hadn't been there 5 minutes, and I hear the neighbor pulling up in his combine. Of all the nights to pick that soybean field, last night was the night. And he drove up, and his combine is like 20 yards away from me. So I just stood up, gave him a nice wave, and folded up my chair and walked away. I mean, what are you going to do? I will try it again another night when the weather is perfect and the wind is perfect. Anyways, I'll go out again today, and I'll give it a try. I've got another batch of jerky going, the famed ketchup jerky that my kids just love. They ate close to 10 pounds last week, and we're going on a trip. We're going on a vacation to Missouri and Wisconsin, visit my two oldest and 11 grandchildren. So I'm whipping up another 4 pounds of venison jerky just for the trip, and I'm hoping we make it to the state line before they get that all eaten, or else they'll have a bellyache. But anyways, speaking of food, I am down almost 10 pounds, about 9.6 pounds I've lost in the last 32 days. So I'm feeling pretty happy about that. I put on some blue jeans that I haven't worn in several years, probably 5-6 years. And it feels pretty darn good. I get down to my target weight of 175, and I'm going to try appendix carry inside the waistband and just see how comfortable that is. I've been wanting to do that ever since I met Rob Pincus. Rob, you know, he loves to appendix carry, but he's a skinny little bugger. And, you know, when I tried it, it just didn't work. So I'm hoping in another 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be able to put on my crossbreed inside the waistband appendix carry holster and try that out. I'll have a new experience. How have I been losing all this weight? Oh, gosh, people ask me that. And you know what? A lot of it has to do with going hungry. I wish I could say something more appealing to people, but you know what? You know, I go to bed hungry. I wake up hungry. But here's what I've been doing. Oh, you notice I haven't cracked open a Mountain Dew in a very long time. It's been over a month. It's been 33 days since my last Mountain Dew and my mocha frappuccino. So low sugar is a really big deal for me for my weight loss plan. But listen to this. Today we celebrate 10 pounds. Listen. Oh, yeah. You guys know what that is. Can you hear the fizz? Oh, yeah. That tastes like crap. You know why? It's not a Mountain Dew. It's Diet Coke. You know, and part of the secret is to eat things that you wouldn't have as your first choice. You just don't eat your first choice. You have to change your first choice. So, you know, I'm drinking Diet Coke. I'm drinking that BAI drink, like 5 calories per serving. I have been having hot cocoa. You know, people drink coffee, not many calories in coffee, but no sugar either. So I've just been making hot cocoa without sugar in it. It's a little bitter, so I'll add maybe a half a teaspoon of honey. And there's 30 calories in a half a teaspoon of honey. And so that's not a big deal. I can absorb that. So that's been going really well. Low carbohydrates, not many grains, dairy, meat, eggs. In the morning, bacon and eggs. At noon, I've got a you know, tuna fish sandwich usually, but I stack the tuna fish like an inch thick, and that's pretty good stuff. Or, you know, today I've got like a bologna and cheese sandwich. And then tonight, I don't know what I'll have tonight. Maybe I'll have some kind of meat or something, but vegetables, but it'll be low carb, whatever it is. And then I don't eat till morning, and that's basically how I've been doing, and it's been working fantastic for me. I'm getting used to it. For me, once I got used to not having sugar, it was okay. So don't focus on the things that you can't eat. If you do that, you are doomed to failure. Focus on the things that you can eat, because there's still a lot of good things that I can eat and that I do eat. I mean, I had some squash last night, butternut baking squash, right? And my idea of cooking a baking squash is, you know, you slit it down the middle, you take out the seeds, and then you pack it full of brown sugar, and then you go ahead and bake it. And butter, lots of butter. I just did a plain baking squash, no sugar in it, and I ate it last night, and I was surprised. I go, wow, this is kind of sweet. It's because I'm not used to the refined sugar anymore, and squash is naturally sweet, so I'm going to be eating some more squash lately as well. All right, I think we got time for one news item here, so let's head on over to BearingArms.com. This article caught my eye. Police officer teaches young boys harsh lesson about carrying look-alike firearms. I think they mean lifelike firearms. There was a video. I watched the video. It says a police officer from the Columbus Division of Police taught an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old boy a valuable life lesson. They can't walk around town flashing what appears to be a real firearm because it may just cost them their lives. On Saturday, October 13, Officer Peter Kazuchio received a call about two young men carrying what looked like a firearm. Once he spotted the boys, he drew his weapon. The youngest of the two immediately dropped the gun he had to the ground. As soon as it bounced off the sidewalk, Officer Kazuchio knew what the call was about, a BB gun. The encounter, caught on Officer Casuzio's body camera, reveals what goes through an officer's head once a call of this nature is received. It also shows how the officer graciously handled the situation and turned it into a life lesson the boys will never forget. And I listened to the whole video. I watched the video, listened to the audio. And the officer was firm, but he was polite. And he just laid it on the line, hey, boys, you can't do this kind of stuff, not in this day and age. Because, someone, especially in a place like Cleveland, in the big city, a kid with a gun, somebody is going to call the cops. Now, it's different out here in the country where I live. But you know what? Even though it's not as bad out here in the country, there are still some morons out there who, if they see my 12-year-old son with a gun, they will call the police. Just someone driving by will do it. They like to think that they're doing the world a favor, that they're helping out, right? It takes a village. But and for that reason, I don't even let my kids go outside with my CERT training gun. CERT is S-I-R-T. It's a plastic training gun. It's maroon on the top and black on the bottom, but you look at it closely, you go, oh, that's not a real gun. But someone driving down the road, they might not recognize that, and I don't want to deal with that stuff. Plus it has a laser on it. So I just say, hey, kids, you can shoot that gun anytime you want. It's not a real gun. You can use it for practice, shooting, the same way I do. I'll pull up and I'll shoot the light switch or whatever, and I use it for dry fire practice. I let my kids do that as well. But they're not allowed to take it outside the house simply because, boys will be boys. How do I know that? Because I used to be a boy. And if you tell them not to do something, well, they'll do it. So I trust them, but I don't trust them, if you know what I mean. So I would encourage you, have your kids, sit them down and say, listen, don't go out there, with a BB gun. If you do, stay in the backyard. If you're out in the country, not as big a deal. But man, don't walk around Cleveland with a BB gun. And I saw this BB gun. It looked real. It really, really did. So, hey, be careful about those kinds of things. We don't want our kids dying. This is an 11 and a 13-year-old kid that could have died. It happens all the time. I did an online search. Lots of kids die every year from police officers shooting them because they pull a toy gun or a look-alike gun or a pellet gun or whatever, and the cop says, hey, that's a real gun. I don't want to die. They shoot the boy, and then, it wasn't a real gun. Have the cops done something wrong? Well, they made a mistake, but they followed procedure, and they thought someone was going to shoot them. Cops die almost every day in this country, so I really don't blame them. I really don't. Okay, well, hey, we are out of time for this first segment, but I'm excited about the segments 2 and 3. We're going to be speaking with Bruce Corey, co-owner of ShootingClasses.com. Boy, you want to know how to get hooked up with some really good training all over America, you need to hear this. While we're our way, check out ShootingClasses.com. Just go on the internet, go on Facebook, search on ShootingClasses.com, check it out, and be ready. Also, check out our sponsors. Check out ElitePhirearms.us. Talk to Larry Jackson about your next firearm. And then go to FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family legally. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes with Bruce Corey and ShootingClasses.com. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel, and we are speaking with Bruce Corey from ShootingClasses.com. Bruce, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Thank you very much, Skip. I really appreciate this opportunity to get to know each other a little bit better and your audience as well. So thank you very much. Definitely appreciate it.
All right. Now, Bruce, you are the co-owner of ShootingClasses.com. This is a brand new organization. But, you know, so tell the listeners, what exactly is ShootingClasses.com?
Okay. So ShootingClasses.com is a internet-run business where we actually provide a degree of marketing for firearms instructors and students to be able to find firearms instructors, both locally in their area and nationwide. So we started this about, it's been a little over 2 years ago. The kind of the concept of it is that we want to be able to provide good value to both instructors and students who are looking for firearms instruction. So one of the things that got us off and starting was I went on LinkedIn because we had a pretty good idea. I mean, there's five of us involved in this, three that are originally started this, and then two that we brought on here a couple months ago, and we'll get into some details about who we are and what we do. But I wanted to, you know, being instructors and knowing, you know, pretty much attending a lot of classes and knowing what's required to take a course and the details, I went on to LinkedIn and I joined all the different firearms instructor group, and there's probably about a dozen groups on there that range from, you know, maybe 100 members to well over 10,000 members, and just asked them a simple question. As a firearms instructor, what are your biggest constraints in running your business? And two out of the three, we really expected, and we got a lot of good feedback, but all the feedback really fell into three buckets, and that was finding students to teach, which is marketing. Marketing is very costly, and it's sometimes very difficult to do. We know what it's like dealing with Facebook these days. The second was the hours that it takes me to run my business. And some guys came back and said they spend as much as 8 to 1 hours trying to run their business. And the vast majority of instructors out there are guys who have a full-time job. They do this either as a part-time thing or they're trying to get it up and running. So being able to do all the details of running the business can be a real serious challenge. So the third thing they came up with that I was a little bit surprised at was finding venues to train at. Because a lot of times they're looking for a place and ranges aren't always friendly to instructors. So that was the third item on their list. So we sat down. At the time, there was three of us. There was myself, my stepson, Bill Orndorff, and a friend of his, Israel Matos. And we started to say, okay, what's it going to take for us to be able to satisfy all three of these criteria? And we spent some time going through what the needs are, how we would do a business model and whatever. From that, we actually got the ball rolling. We did a couple. We hired a marketing company who has just been awesome in working with us to come up with what the website should look like, the look and feel, the contents, and then we hired a web developer. We spent a good bit of time just interviewing different web developers to find the right one, and we did. We really did. They worked together as a team, but, you know, we launched it from there.
Well, so you have put a lot of work into this. I mean, 2 years in development, you know, to a non-technical person like myself, that sounds like a long time.
It is. So if I break it down, just to come up with the right web developer probably took 3 months' time. Interviewing different web developers, meeting with them. I had put together a PowerPoint presentation that just went into unbelievable detail about what we wanted to accomplish so that they would understand exactly what would be in front of them. We finally made a decision. It was interesting. The first two I felt were very confident, very, you know, big name developers, and there was no issue that they could do what we wanted to do. But the third one, he understood what we wanted to do. He was a shooter. His partners were. And I mean, when I sat down with him, he was just firing off questions at me right and left about, you know, did you about this? Did you think about that? And before I left his office that day, he looked at me and says, you know, it's not that often that an opportunity like this comes along that we can really get into. And I just made up my mind that he was the guy I wanted to go with. So I set up a joint meeting between him and our marketing company to kind of outline, okay, the roles and responsibilities, who was going to be doing what, to make sure that we were all off on the same page, finalize proposals to do all this, and we got off and started. You know, the first step we went through was a branding process, okay, because we wanted to know what's the best name that we could have for our business, and then go through, purchasing that name. And everything takes a long time. It's amazing that you just can't kick something off and a month later be up and running. Not if you want to do it right anyway.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you certainly lined up all your ducks before you launch this thing. So that's good because, quite frankly, you are good at what I am not, and that is marketing and business. I'm not really a good business-oriented person. It's just not my talent. But, hey, I'm glad that you are.
Well, thank you. You know, to get into me, you know, my forte, I'm the old man of this group.
Hold it now. Yeah, define old man.
Well, I turned 70 here in 2 weeks.
Oh, well, God bless you. I'm 61, so thank you for being older than me. I appreciate it, Bruce.
Well, I've been following you on your podcast, so I kind of know a little bit about you.
Okay.
But yeah, my background is business. Okay. My last 25 years of working, I retired back in 66, was a global product manager, and, I was all over the world and taking responsibility for products, taking responsibility for coming up with presentations and things like that. So I've got a good background in business, but as they always say, know your limitations. And I am not a marketing person. I am certainly not a web development person. At my age, you know, when we got into computers, it's like these kids go out and then their fingers are moving 90 miles an hour and doing things that we just kind of shake our heads at. So, I decided if we're going to be successful with this, we've got to put the right team together. And we did that.
Yeah. Well, it certainly sounds like it. I've never, you mentioned things like branding. I mean, I know what that is, but it's not that I don't care about that kind of stuff. Because I do care about it. It's just that I care more about, you know, getting out on the range and shooting and teaching in the classroom and writing books and doing podcasts and radio shows and all that other stuff. So I appreciate that you guys know what you're doing and have done your due diligence as far as, things like that. So.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about the company that we went with for marketing, I mean, they've just been so exceptionally good to us. And I have to say that everybody we're working with between the marketing company, the web development company, we hired a lawyer who specializes in new business startup and internet businesses. He has been great. Accounting, we hired a good firm to do that for us. So we've got everything together. But the marketing company was very good about sitting down and saying, okay, look, you know, we like what you're doing here. We think it's got great potential. And if you're going to do it right, here's the steps you need to go through. And obviously branding was number one, because your brand image is so important. I mean, we laid it out to them: honesty, integrity. We want to put instructors and students first. It's not like any of us right now. You know, I'm retired. My wife and I, we're living comfortable. You know, everybody's in a good position in life. So it's not like we have to get this thing up and running and we have to start making money. That's not our objective. Our objective is, how do we do something good for the firearms industry, for instructors and students? And that's been our driving force.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the challenges for students is actually finding an instructor.
Absolutely.
That's worth their salt. I mean, there is an incredible glut of instructors right now, at least here in my home state of Michigan, because, you know, under the Obama years, for that 8 years, boy, I tell you, you know, whatever else you want to say about Barack Obama, he could sell guns and he drove people into my classes. So it's like all I had to do, you know, to get the students was answer the phone. You know, now we're, you know, what we're in is we've labeled it as the Trump slump. And because I remember the day after the election where Trump was elected, the phone stopped ringing. And you know, it's like conservative gun owners, they're a little fickle that way. If they're not afraid of losing their rights, then they're not real motivated, you know, to do something like this. But
yeah.
I'm certainly glad that, and that's why I need something like shootingclasses.com even more than ever now, because people aren't coming to me the way they were before. And so I need to get my name out there. The branding that you're talking about and marketing is a lot more important, because the pie is smaller. So
yeah.
I've got to do that. So I definitely appreciate what you guys are doing. Now, what are you hearing? I mean, you're in contact with instructors all over the country. What are you hearing about the market right now as far as shooting classes? Is it up? Is it down? Where is it up? Where is it down? What's going on with that?
Well, I think the best thing that answers that question is the response that we've got from instructors who want to get onto shootingclasses.com, because they realize that, you know, their classes are not to the level of attendance that they want them to be. And a lot of these guys would like to be able to do more classes. So there's two good benefits there. There's, you know, when you say the pie is small, and I kind of look at it from a different perspective. And each one, and the nice thing about our partners is we're all different. We come from different directions. Bill has a, he was a former sheriff's deputy, but he has a finance background. He's very successful in it. He spends a lot of time taking courses. He's at the very high-end level courses. I mean, he's done courses where he's been waterboarded. He goes to extremes in taking courses because he believes in it so much. Israel is a former military, retired Marine. He was a wounded vet, Purple Heart recipient, saved one of the life of one of his guys by throwing him on him to protect him from an IED, and ended up getting his knee blown off. A great instructor. He was part of the team that actually developed the current Marine Tactical Pistol Training Program. He's fun to, I love to spend time with him. So Bill and Israel down in Florida. I'm in Ohio, so we don't get together, you know, every single month, but I love going down there and spending time with these guys. And then we brought on here just a few months back two additional people, I'm not sure if you're aware of, but from the Benghazi fame, Tonto and Boone, who are good friends of Bill. Bill has got tons of contacts. And on the marketing side, you know, Bill has been a long time friend of Colonel Danny McKnight. Mm-hmm. And a few years back, you know, Colonel McKnight called Bill and he says, "Hey, I'm having lunch with Tonto." He said, "Do you want to go?" And Bill said, "Yeah." They thought they formed a very good relationship. And just out of that evolved that we felt, you know, we wanted to bring them in just for, you know, brand recognition and name.
Yeah, Bruce, it's so important, especially in the firearms community, which is not a large community. If you know five people in the industry, those five people probably know everyone else in the industry. We're all interconnected. And
yes.
So, boy, just like anything else in life, it's who you know. And now I know you and you know me. So, hey, we should be able to conquer the whole world by now. All right, Bruce, this is all good stuff, good information. We got a good background on shootingclasses.com. We have to take a short break here. We're done with this segment. When we come back, I'd like to talk more about you and guns and your personality, what you like to do, maybe more of why you're doing this, so we can get just a picture of the man behind shootingclasses.com. Can you stick around for another segment?
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
All right. Okay, well, folks, we've got a two-minute break here. While we're away, go ahead and check out shootingclasses.com, see what they're all about there. And then also check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical, and then elitefirearms.us. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Bruce Corey, that one of the co-owners from shootingclasses.com. It's an awesome service. Go to shootingclasses.com to check them out. Bruce, I got a pretty good feel for how your operation works now. In fact, I did sign up as an instructor, and I'm really looking forward to what you guys can do to help me fill my classes up. So I certainly appreciate that. But now, Bruce, I'd like to get to know you a little more personally. I'd like to know who I'm dealing with here. You know, who am I, in business with? So, who exactly is Bruce Corey?
All right. Well, I told you I was going to be 70 years old here in a couple of weeks. So that tells you there's a lot of mileage there.
That's right. And it's not the years, it's the miles, isn't it, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of those. So, and my background is business, but I've always been an avid shooter. And I was probably 12 years old when I first shot a .22 rifle and just kind of fell in love with shooting itself. And when I was 18, I went out and it was kind of interesting. We had a Woolworth store. I don't know if you remember those or not.
Oh, yeah.
But you could go in there. It was easy to buy a gun. And I had some Walther. I had a Walther P-38 that I just loved. But you could actually bring a gun back in 6 months, trade it in. They'd give you almost what you paid for it and get another gun. So we get a Walther PPK, then a PPKS. And then I got into Browning's. I've got a Browning Medalist that I've still got to today that is just a beautiful gun. But it was always just plinking type shooting all my life because, quite honestly, coming up through the years, there was no tactical training out there. There was, you know, not that many ranges. It just, you could go out to somebody's, a friend's house that had a big backyard and, you know, set up and do some shooting. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until, 10 years ago that Bill called me up one day and he says, "Hey, you want to take a training class?" And I said, "Sure, be happy to." And we were going to go out west, and the one we were going to go to, he kept trying to leave messages, never could get through. He called me up about a week later, and he says, "Hey, you want to go to Blackwater?" I said, "Sure, I'm game." So I ended up doing 2 full weeks at Blackwater doing tactical pistol level 1, level 2 training back then, and just absolutely loved it. Now, even prior to doing that, I was doing local IDPA, USPSA shooting because we've got a good group of guys in our area. There's probably 25, 30 guys that usually, maybe 12, 18 of us show up there every Saturday night at one of two ranges. And we just, after they close, we have the range and we go in and we have fun shooting, you know, IDPA, USPSA. So I had those skill sets before I went to Blackwater. Blackwater was great because, I mean, we got to do shoot house training and a lot of good things. And then about 3 years later, I found out that I had to have 5 bypasses. And wow. Those 5 bypasses kind of, you know, set me back. You know, it was interesting. People would say to me, "Geez, don't you feel better now?" I would say, "I would give anything if I could feel as good as I did the day before the surgery."
Yeah.
So that set me back for a while. And probably within the last 5 years, though, you know, I've been just trying to cram in as many different courses with instructors as I can. Down in Florida, there's Bushido Tactical. Wade Rorick, a great, great instructor. I've taken defensive rifle, carbine readiness, defensive handgun, advanced concealed carry with him. And I actually since then found a couple of local instructors here close by, one being Achilles Heel and the other one being Lampus Security Consulting. Both are ex-military, police, SWAT guys. So very good to train with, doing low light courses and things like that. And then, of course, you know, now that we've got Boone and Tonto as our partners, I've been hitting Battle Line Tactical, doing courses with them. In fact, I'm getting ready to leave tomorrow to head down to Booneville, Mississippi, because Tonto has his 14th Hour Foundation that is charitable work for wounded veterans and their families. So there's a event going on down there. And then they're going to do Saturday and Sunday to a 2-day advanced concealed carry class. So since I'm down there, I'll stay and take that. But I love to train. So I believe that you can't get enough training. And if I can kind of sidestep for a minute, you know, you talk about the audience out there for training getting smaller and smaller. If you look at the statistics, in the United States, there are 17.25 million concealed carry license holders. And to me, that's going to be a huge audience for us to target because out of that audience, there's only about 3 million that carry with any degree of frequency. And people like me and you that carry 724, it's a very slim number. And I feel very strongly my part of this business is people, you know, it's like getting your driver's license. Just because you got your driver's license doesn't mean you're really ready to hit the road and hit the freeway and drive, you know, 70 miles an hour. And it certainly doesn't mean you're ready to head to Indianapolis.
And I think
we've got to drive that home to people that, okay, yep, you took the initiative to go get a concealed carry license because you want to be able to protect yourself, your family, people around you. but you haven't taken it to any step farther. And that's what we really want to hit home on is, look, you need additional training, and it's not just one course. You need multiple courses. You need to repeat courses. And then what you learn in those courses, you need to get to a range and practice. So that's one of the things we're going to really focus on through our blog, newsletters, and how we reach.
Yeah.
So I think there's huge opportunities, even though it is, as you say, it seems like it's a smaller market. I think it's unbelievably huge.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would personally, as an instructor, I would love to teach more advanced classes. And I probably have taught more this particular year in 2018 than I ever have before. The classes tend to be smaller. I mean, they're not 20, 30, 40, 50 people. They're more four or five people, which is better for the student anyways, because you get a lot more one-on-one stuff. You're doing things that need more direct supervision as well. And you're constantly fine-tuning people because in your first, concealed carry class, if you can remember back that far, you learned a lot because there was so much that you didn't know. But then you go to places like Blackwater and places like that, and you learn more and more and more and more. And every subsequent class that you take, you don't learn as much, but you don't have as much to learn. But boy, you can just keep fine tuning yourself and honing yourself and giving yourself a sharper edge. You know, I would just love to be teaching more advanced concealed carry classes. And, it sounds like you and I would really get along, if we were eyeball to hairy eyeball. So, and you're in Ohio and I'm in Michigan. Where about in Ohio are you, Bruce?
North Canton, about 60 miles south of Cleveland.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
we're not that far. And I look forward to one of these days taking one of your advanced classes.
Oh, well, it sounds like you don't need it, but hey, maybe you can help me teach. How's that sound?
Well, here's the thing. As you get older, you're starting to learn the eyes aren't as good. The knees are certainly aren't as good.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I do a decent job of keeping up.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. You know, I was teaching a private class yesterday, just two guys, but they were late 50s, and we talked about red dot sites and I think both of them were candidates for moving from iron sights to red dot sights simply because their eyesight wasn't what it used to be, and it helps out, I don't want to get off on that. That's a rabbit trail. But tell me about your carry gun, your carry rig. What does your everyday carry look like, Bruce?
Well, I'll tell you. I have been a diehard Glock person.
Ah, a Glock man.
And I say I have been.
Okay.
During the summertime, I always carry a Glock 26. Wintertime, go to the 19. And, SIG just came out with this 365. I don't know if you've had a chance to shoot one yet.
Not yet.
But it is SIG really hit a home run with it. And nothing against Glock. To me, Glock is the tank of guns. I know that gun is always going to run. It doesn't have to be that clean. I know guys that don't even clean their Glock for 1,000 rounds, and they still can't. I can't do that. Especially if I'm carrying, I keep it clean.
Yeah.
But I know that the gun's a tank.
Mm-hmm.
But when I buy a Glock, I probably put an additional $200 into that gun.
Yeah.
Just to get it to where I want it. I mean, between smoothing up the trigger, putting in a ghost connector, changing the sights out, getting a set of Trigicon's night sights on it, and just going over that gun, smoothing it up and doing things, it's an automatic. Before I even take the gun to the range, I do all those things to it. So I was down in Florida, and my son had a 365. And that gun, right out of the box, SIG hit a home run with it. The ergonomics of the gun, the feel of the gun, the grip texture, it comes with night sights on it. It comes with an excellent trigger. You don't have to do a thing to that gun. And the nice thing of it is it's the same size as pretty much a Glock 43.
Oh, wow.
So you're comparing now what is a double-stack gun to a single-stack gun. So you immediately go from 6 to 10 or 12-round magazine capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. And I was down, so Bill's got a cabin down in Tennessee. I was down there, I think it was about 2 months ago, with the SIG. And we're shooting 115 yards at steel with these SIGs and probably hitting like 3 out of 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
The gun is so accurate and solid. I'm really happy with it. And quite honestly, personally, because I am such a Glock fan, I know that it's only a matter of time till Glock responds and comes out. They're very slim. And I will definitely get that. But I can't say enough about this SIG. It's been a great gun. So it is my carry gun. And, you know, you talk about carry guns and people go into the range. And I just watch guys, they won't shoot at the range what they carry. You know, I want to shoot what I can shoot better, what looks good, because I know the guy standing beside me, he's looking at my target to see what I'm shooting. So they never shoot what they carry. And right. I am just a staunch believer in you shoot what you carry.
Yep.
So the only time I pull out a 19 or a 17 or any other full-size gun is if I'm doing a class and that's what that class dictates, then I will. But otherwise, when I shoot on IDPA, Saturday nights, I shoot my SIG. I like it so much that I actually went out and bought a second one because I usually try whatever I'm carrying. I try not to shoot it that much. I'll shoot it like once a month. And then I try to hit the range like twice a week and then shoot, you know, on the weekends. So the high round count, I want going into a separate gun. So yeah. I got 2 365s.
So tell me, how does that compare price-wise to the Glocks?
Bit more expensive, you know, because Glocks have been coming down on price. I don't really check the price on them all that often.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much when I go to buy a gun, I'm buying it through an FFL that I know that gives me a pretty good price break. They'll give me LE prices and things like that. So I will say this, it's a little bit more expensive. But when you factor in that you do not have to do a single thing to the gun,
yeah,
I think it actually becomes cheaper.
Well, yeah. Well, SIG, it's got a great reputation, and I've shot several SIGs. I like them. I like the way they feel as well. But, you know, one thing that you touched on there, Bruce, is people, they'll come to my advanced classes, and they'll bring a full-framed gun, but they don't carry a full-framed gun.
Right.
Us men, it's like we're big bags of ego and testosterone, and we want to look good in front of everyone else. But I tell people, I said, you know, I want you to shoot the gun that you carry every single day. And they'll say, but yeah, but I don't shoot that one as well. And so I'll say, well, then why are you carrying it every single day? You know, and I'll ask the question. I'll say, listen, you're going to get in a life or death gunfight tonight at 5:00. Are you going to carry that little gun, that Smith & Wesson bodyguard, or are you going to carry this full frame gun? Which, you know, which one do you want to save your life? And it's an obvious answer. But hey, you know, you and I guess we are hardcore. We're gung ho. I mean, I was in the Marine Corps and you've been to Blackwater. So hey, that's one of the things, you know, I envy you all of your training because it sounds like you are having an awesome quote unquote retirement, Bruce.
Oh, I am. I am. Just starting this business has interfered with that a little bit.
Oh. Well, hey, just keep your wife happy. That's what you gotta focus on.
Gotcha.
Bruce, we are about out of time for this segment, but you know, I am just so happy to be in business with shootingclasses.com. I certainly look forward to meeting you in person and having more interaction in with you. So, Bruce, before you go, tell us, where can people go to find all about shootingclasses.com?
Two good sources. One is Facebook, and I am just overwhelmed with Facebook. We launched Facebook probably, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago. And just little by little, it's been creeping up with our likes and followers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually at a sporting goods store on Friday. I looked at it, and we had just crossed the 1,500 mark for mm-hmm. followers. And every day, it's just compounded itself. This morning, it was over 2,500.
Wow.
So the people that are coming to it, and we've got a lot of good posts up and some videos on there. So that's a great source to come to. But obviously the website, you know, www.shootingclasses.com. That's where you'll find us at. We are, and I got to say for students, if you're going to the site right now, you get to see a lot. We've got blogs up there. We've got video up there. We've got a lot of good things going on the site right now. But as a person like yourself, you know, you signed up to be an instructor. Unless you're an instructor, you don't get to see all the background, all the things that we're doing to actually help run your business for you. You know, the registration log, the rosters, the being able to schedule classes, being able to reschedule, do discounting. There's just tons of features there that nobody's going to see unless they become an instructor. Likewise for a student. We realized that originally we were going to launch this as a administrative management program and then add students later. And then we decided, nope, we got to go, you know, students right off the bat. So our student page is kind of lacking. I mean, when you click on it now, and I think at the time you registered, it might have been just when you click on students, it takes you to find a class and stuff. Now we do have a page up that kind of tells about what the experience is going to be, because we want to create a very strong student experience where the students will have their own landing page, and they're going to be able to tell us what their interests are. You know, are they interested in concealed carry, home defense? Are they interested in sports shooting? And we'll actually map out a plan of courses to take that will get you to where your end goal is, and then they'll have a little thing that will show their progression and all that. So we've got a lot of things coming up that we want to do for students to engage. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's when a student comes and they register for the class, we take out our small fee, and the rest goes to the instructor. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's students that make you money, and it's students that make us money. So we've got to very strongly engage students here.
Yeah, and it also, it makes us both money, but it also makes society safer and family safer all across the board. So, Bruce,
absolutely,
you know, that's just awesome. I look forward to talking with you more, and thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thank you. Can I do one more plug?
Yes, sir.
You know, you sent me the civilian combat book, concealed carry book.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, that was a fantastic book to read. I think anybody who is looking to carry a gun really does need to read your book. It's well written. You did an outstanding job there. So I definitely want to give you a plug for that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Bruce. I'm looking forward to expanding that book in the next 3 months. You know, just because I would like to have it approved by the Michigan State Police as a concealed carry curriculum. So I'm looking forward to doing that as well. But Bruce, shootingclasses.com, that's where we want people to go. It sounds like a great tool, and it's going to be great. Bruce, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Skip. I really do appreciate it.
Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. We have got a 2-minute break here. Check out shootingclasses.com or go on Facebook and search for that. While we're away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love.
Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get civilian combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, Armed America time. Take us there, dude.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, one employee at a George Webb restaurant in Milwaukee is undoubtedly glad that one of her co-workers owns and carries a gun. The woman was cooking behind the counter when a man walked up to her and slugged her in the face, giving her a concussion. After the injured cook stumbled away, a colleague emerged from another area of the restaurant, pointed a gun at the assailant, and directed him to leave. Surveillance cameras recorded the incident, and police disseminated the clip to help find the suspect.
Thanks, Colonel. This type of unprovoked violence is happening more and more these days, and I suspect it will get worse before it gets better. It all started in Europe about 10 years ago and was called the happy slapping game. But now here in America, it has morphed into something called the knockout game. It became popular a few years ago when young teenagers would pick out an adult to attack and then casually walk up to them and sucker punch them in the face. The goal was to render them unconscious with one punch. In some cases, they would even kick the unconscious victim as they lay on the sidewalk and even take selfies of them while standing over the victim. Quite a few people have been seriously injured, put into comas, and several have actually died as a result of these types of attacks. But how can you defend against crazy acts of violence like this? Here are a few handy self-defense tips you can follow to minimize the danger of becoming a knockout victim. 1. When you are around people you don't know, especially when in transitional spaces like parking lots and sidewalks, always operate at a heightened state of awareness. Check people out from a distance, and if you see anything that makes you feel threatened or uneasy, leave the area. 2. When you walk past people, keep them in your peripheral vision. Many times attackers will glance over at you and then look around the area to ensure no one is watching before they launch their attack. Watch for these nonverbal cues and respond appropriately when you see people with nefarious intent. And 3. When walking past people on a sidewalk or a hallway or in a parking lot, give them a little space. Don't let them get close enough to play the knockout game. And 4. Don't be afraid to make brief eye contact just so people know you are aware of their presence. You are sending the message, I see you and I hold you accountable. Many times, this is all it takes to ward off an attack. I understand that we shouldn't have to worry about people like this, but the sad reality is that this type of craziness happens and we need to be aware of it and take precautions. Fortunately for the victim in this story, there was a coworker with a staunch warrior mindset and he successfully intervened to bring this story to a happy ending.
And did it exactly right.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. That was fantastic with Bruce Corey from shootingclasses.com. Make sure you check that out. It's all good stuff there. Now, on the wrap-up, in segment one, we talked about taking my kids hunting. So I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we brought in Cedar Coriel, my 12-year-old son, to talk about his recent hunting trip. Cedar, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Hello.
Now, Cedar, we were out there, behind the house, and we were out in the woods, and we were stalking our prey, right? We were predators.
I thought we were the prey.
No. You have it backwards.
That squirrel was huge.
Oh. Well, yeah. He kind of looked like Garfield the cat attached to a tree, didn't he?
Yep.
Well, that begs the question. If that squirrel was that large, how did you miss him?
The sights were wrong.
The sights are wrong? Well, you know, when I shoot that rifle, it's dead on, so maybe my eyeballs are wrong.
Maybe.
Well, you know, maybe missing one time, but didn't you miss twice?
Five times.
Five times. Five times, and you admit it on the radio. That takes character, Cedar. Well, how did you miss five times? What was going on in your head?
The sights were wrong.
No, we know the sights are not wrong. Was it buck fever? I mean, the squirrel was just so big you were afraid of being attacked and mauled?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. We're not going to get a good straight answer from you, are we?
Nope.
All right. What is the remedy for missing five times at the same fox squirrel?
Practice.
That's right. So you are going to go ahead and you're going to practice. And the next time you see that fox squirrel, what are you going to do?
I'm going to blow his brains out.
That's right. Okay. All right, Cedar. Well, we'll see. Maybe next week we'll get an update next week. But we'll get you another chance, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Cedar, thank you for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thanks, Dad. Don't give up on me, okay?
All right, son. All right, folks. Boy, that was a nice story. Personally, he just needs to practice all the more. And he needs for his father to instruct him in the ways of marksmanship, which I will do. However, we're about out of time on the Home Defense Show. Where has all the time gone? But we've had a good time with Bruce Corey and with Cedar Coryell. Check out shootingclasses.com on Facebook or on their website. And also check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and elitefirearms.us with Larry Jackson. Now, I just published a new book, The Blind Man's Rage, last week, so you can go on Amazon.com and you can check that out, along with Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book. But I just recently published, in the matter just a few hours ago, all four of the God Virus series books in one book, both on Kindle and on paperback. So you can now go to Amazon and you can get all four of those books in one book for, boy, about half the price. So go ahead and check that out on Amazon.com. Just search on Skip Coryell, the God Virus series, and it'll pop right up there. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coryell. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!